Hey, welcome back to Sharp Elbows. You're listening to me, Nadal Makashvi, Representative Francesca Hong, and our special guest, Scott Roth. I think we have another caller on the line. Catherine, welcome.
Hello, Fran and Nada. I really enjoy your show. And I was listening to a great conversation about national politics and so forth. But right now we've got local elections going on. And I think it's really important that we start to think about our alders, because alders have a huge effect on the environment. You know, 50% of the CO2 in Madison comes from buildings, and alders are closely involved with buildings. If you're building a project, you go to your alder first. And they also have a lot of effect on what we do with transportation. At a recent city council meeting, they just got a big grant from Volkswagen, and they bought 15 diesel buses instead of 15 electric buses. Now we got 15 buses going around Madison spewing out diesel fuel for as a however long that bus exists instead of buying electric. So I'm just thinking, I wonder if you would maybe try to get some alders on to talk about how locally we can affect the environment so much, because I think we overlook that. And it bothers me when I look at planks and programs that people are running on, they seldom mention the environment, especially at the local level. So I just call it because that's a big concern of mine. I'm a grandmother, and I'm concerned about the future, how my grandkids are going to make it with a CO2 going so high. So that's what I was calling.
Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you, Catherine, for that. I agree. I'm Gen Z myself. Climate change and climate justice, I think, are incredibly important to me, if not the most important, because they intertwine with so many other issues. I also serve on the Sustainable Madison Committee here, part of the City of Madison. And there's a lot of alders on that are really dedicated to sustainability and decarbonization by 2030, which is really... really, I think, is a big relief for me to see that they're actually trying. That doesn't mean, though, that we don't need our constituents and Madisonians to hold them accountable to do better. So, you know, local level politics are incredibly important. And also, you know, to bring it back to the Wisconsin level, Fran, I was wondering if you wanted to speak a little bit. I know that Republican leadership here is planning or talking about striking down the governor's mask mandate. So for any viewers at home or listeners, I was hoping you'd cover that.
Yeah, absolutely. And just one note on Catherine's question there. Mm-hmm. I will say that even if there are not specific talking points on the platforms of those running for alder right now, we have the most diverse group of candidates that the city has seen who are running for city council. And I think what all of them encompasses is a dedication to being responsive and being even more active in their communities. So even if there isn't a specific talking point to the environment, I think that I'm very hopeful that this group of candidates is committed to you know, engaging and listening to constituents like Catherine. And then pivoting to, this mask mandate. We've got two senators. One is our freshman senator, Julian Bradley, who is the only Black Republican in the Senate. Julian and Senator Noss believe that they are protecting the integrity of the Constitution, when really they are only going along with the only thing that is consistent about this Republican Party, and that is hypocrisy. So what's going to happen is they are bringing to the floor a joint resolution. And now a joint resolution can revoke the governor's executive order. So if this passes in both the Senate and the Assembly, then there's a chance that Governor Evers' mask mandate can be revoked. I'd like to point out that the majority of Wisconsinites support wearing masks, 69%. The majority of our state cares about public health, even though we are the lowest funded, we have the lowest number, or what was it? Our state is lowest in public health funding. Majority of Wisconsin, they care about public health and they want to live. And so it'd be really great if our representatives, who are also public servants, would act to keep the public healthy and safe. And it's very unfortunate that they are wielding this mask mandate as a political football to be able to just score points for themselves for their special corporate interest donors and stakeholders who really don't care if the public is healthy, safe, or alive.
I mean,
Scott,
the hypocrisy
any
of Republican, yeah, I mean, I'm just loaded for bear on this one. I mean, the Republican hypocrisy on masks and about the entire COVID thing is just disgusting, disgraceful, and despicable. And I'll give you one particular example. This jerk yesterday tweeted, since Joe Biden was sworn in, 8,529 people have died from COVID. That's like if 40 full-size passenger planes just suddenly fell out of the sky. This was tweeted on the 22nd at 8:30. Do you know who liked that tweet? Robin Voss liked that tweet. The guy who has done absolutely nothing while more than 6,000 Wisconsinites perish from COVID is going to make light of that situation. It is so disgusting and disgraceful. It is beyond words, even for that repellent worm. I mean, we have gone, as you know, Fran, 280 days since the Republicans put a bill on the desk of Governor Tony Evers.
We're going on 290, almost 200.
And in fact, the only thing that they can pass is this self-flagellation love bill for Robin Voss, because, you know, unlike anything else, the thrice married speaker has indeed shown fealty to wanting power. They wrote him a resolution congratulating him on being the longest serving speaker in Wisconsin history. You know, killing the mask mandate is killing Wisconsinites. And when those two go to the floor, hopefully, I mean, I know you're not in the Senate, and I know not as I know well, you're not in the Senate. I hope that the senators will quote to our constitutional scholars, Julian Bradley and Mike Michelson. I'm sorry, I mean, Steve Nass. Section 3, Article 3, Section 1 of the state constitution, which says every United States citizen age 18 or older who is a resident of the election district in this state is a qualified elector of that district. Meaning, if you're going to pretend like the mask mandate is somehow violating the constitution, then every single thing that Republicans have done to attack the rights of voters in the state of Wisconsin, particularly black and brown people, is an absolute assault on the constitution of the state of Wisconsin. So, assuming all the other senators are now listening to this broadcast, they have their talking points. They have their marching orders and their talking points.
I wish Robin Voss would.
They would do well to listen to. That's for sure. Speaking of, it's very interesting for me to see them wanting to strike down the mask mandate and then BITCH-ing about not receiving vaccines at the very same time. Fran, do you want to give us a little kind of primer on where we are in terms of vaccine rollout to kind of do some truth telling?
Yeah, I think it's important for folks to remember that 45 had no vaccine rollout plan. There is a serious supply issue right now. And if you don't have the infrastructure to roll out vaccines at the federal level, and then when Wisconsin, we work, our public health officials, you know, that this type of vaccine distribution happens at a local level as well. The state cannot just implement like overarching policies to just be able to roll out these vaccines at the rate that Republicans seem to think is possible. We're receiving about 70,000 vaccines a week. We've got 5 million people in this state that we need to vaccinate, or 4.7 that we need to vaccinate that are over the age of 16. And, you know, what's allocated, what's being shipped out, what's being transported, there is communication infrastructure that has been built up. But again, this is a supply issue. And the number of vaccines that are allocated to Wisconsin is not expected to change for weeks. The good news is that those 65 and over are now eligible to request through their pharmacist and other health officials to sign up for the vaccine. But it's a little bit of a we'll call you and situation, which I know is difficult, but we have to be patient and we have to persevere. It's like boarding a plane, you know, like Group A has gone through and will start part of Group B, but there are still people who need to go on from Group A. There's a committee right now that is giving DHS the recommendations for who to include in different phases. I just want to reiterate that the committee recommended food chain workers, including grocery workers, pantry workers, teachers, correctional workers, and inmates, 911 dispatchers, and transit workers to be included in this group, but it hasn't, DHS has not made the final decision yet. We're seeing, you know, especially from the Republicans, just, you know, bashing this vaccine rollout and wanting to have people vaccinated by March, April. It's just, it's not feasible when the vaccines aren't there. You can't put shots in arms when you don't have the shots. Over 300,000 Wisconsinites have been vaccinated. We're at almost 8,000 people a day. The fact that we're lower in lowest in the Midwest, we also have to realize that we have the fourth lowest in doses shipped. So again, per usual, they are ignoring the conditions of what creates problems and just pinpointing them and bringing out no solutions. They like to flail around, but again, they are very consistent at doing nothing.
Thank you for that. And on that, we will break for a very last break. You are listening to 92.7 FM.
Hey, I'm Chris.
And I'm Fancy Brian.
And we are your hosts for a new podcast called On the Bus with Chris and Brian, where we welcome you on board the tour bus with artists from all over the place, giving you a taste for what life is really like on tour.
I have so many stories to tell you guys. I just wish I remembered them all.
Fancy Brian, don't you ever run for office. Live vicariously through those who actually live these stories from the road.
Podcasts drop every other Tuesday on DevilRadio927.com.
No yelling on the bus!
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be covering politics, all politics, from national to local, but from a Wisconsin perspective. This is open mic, no holds barred. You call in on any political subject.
If you can say to a judge, the Attorney General of the United States instructed all the U.S. attorneys to investigate for fraud, which itself was wrong, anti-democratic. The U.S. attorneys don't go on a witch hunt.
Listen to Matt Flynn Direct every weekday from 6 to 8 a.m. only on Devil Radio. Gotta cut you
down. So, Darcy Haber, I hear you have solar panels on your office building. Since when are real estate agents tree huggers?
Kurt, you should know that at Solidarity Realty, we provide outstanding real estate service while adhering to our core progressive values. Environmental sustainability is a big part of that.
So you really walk your talk, huh?
Yep, I even walk to work.
Come on, always?
Well, sometimes I bike. And if I have an appointment across town, I use my Prius.
Darcy Haber, an honest broker. Check out SolidarityRealty.com or call her at 358-6180.
Once again, the American public has some reading to do. A 29-page indictment today. Americans need to take a look at page 6, paragraph 20. And here come those important 8 words: to interfere with the 2016 U.S. presidential election. That is it.
Jim, I'm going to make a confession on behalf of the panel. Dom's not going to read the indictment.
Come on, maybe.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Stay informed with progressive news and talk on WTTN 1580 AM, Wisconsin's home for Devil Radio.
Make that butter.
Nice. I did chicken chili this week. Chile, green chili, red chicken.
And welcome back.
Welcome back to Hot Elbow. You're listening. We are having too much fun, and it's getting a little bit away with us when it comes to time management, but that's the game. So you're listening to me, Nada, Francesca Hong, and Scott Ross. Right before the break, we were talking about Republicans, and I know that Scott Ross has spent a great career fighting them, I think more effectively than a lot of people here in power. So I was wondering, you know, Scott, when it comes to Republican obstructionism, to the gaslighting, to the manipulation, what's the best way to fight that? What's the best way to counter that from the left?
Sure. I used to travel around the state talking to people about like what are the things that you could do? You know, this was before 2018, this is when Republicans, you know, had seized control of government and had it for about 8 years. And I said a couple things. One is, you know, find the best candidates, and some of those candidates are in this room. Demand the most out of your incumbents and use your voice. And here are ways in which you use your voice. And I think those three things are all the most important things. I think, Nadia, you were talking about that a little earlier. You know, the strength of the Republicans have always tried to use our diversity, which is our greatest strength as Democrats, as our greatest weakness. The press has allowed them to, you know, the press, which has literally I think in the last 4 years, interviewed every single white Republican Trump voter in the state of Wisconsin at least three times at a diner or staring fondly out of a window. You know, and where are the stories? I've not seen a story yet. How come they haven't been over at the Fair Oaks Diner talking to Democratic voters in Dane County who are thrilled with what Joe Biden's doing? You know, that is a challenge. And so for me, and again, I'm biased by the fact that my last job was about using research to build information, to build a strategy, taking that strategy, which defines your message, and communicating that message to people so that they would act in a way that I wanted them to act. And it's communications is so important. And the Republican noise machine is relentless. And we can talk about the billion-dollar Bradley Foundation funding everything we want. But the simple fact is that Democrats, progressives are not as communicated to operating within the established systems of communication as Republicans are. Now, granted, Democrats, I think, are a lot better knocking on people and having that one-to-one conversation and making that connection at the doors. I think the Democrats are much better at doing that. But we have sacrificed that daily, not sacrificed, but we have ignored in many regards that daily fight in the established media where people, by and large, get a lot of their news. And you have to do that by being relentless and being fearless and being willing to stand up and say something and force that contrast in the media. You know, you can't sit back and complain that the Republicans only get what they want in the press if you don't try and get it yourself and it's a competition. Oh, wait, hold on. I think I'm getting a communication from my special Joe Biden communication vehicle back there. Sorry, but maybe not. But I think that that's so important is the relentlessness of communications and making that contrast. Because the thing is, Robin Voss has a district that obviously he will never lose. They've mapped it so that he's never going to lose it. He will take all the incoming. I mean, he feeds off of that negative energy. So we can attack Robin Voss all we want. It's not going to make a hill of beans if it's not getting out to more vulnerable districts where there are Republicans who, if they were forced to defend what Robin Voss is doing on a daily basis, they might have a better chance of losing. That's just that, you know, again, that's my bias for what I've focused my work on. But I think it's that communication thing where we're really dropping the ball. I don't care what, you know, I used to say, like, anybody who agrees with me 100% of the time, I have their head examined, you know, and I don't care, you know, I'll take 50 people on message 80% of the time over two people on message 100% of the time, every single day of every single week of every single month of every single year. The Republicans win the message war because they go out and do it and are fearless about it.
Yeah.
You know? That's what I think. Not that we don't have fearless communicators, but like, I think that that has to be a central focus of our communication, of making sure that as long as we have, you know, we have two newspaper chains that cover the 20 largest cities in the state. And if we're not fighting to get our message and attacking those who are hurting people with this, you know, with not doing anything about COVID, about ignoring the fact that the economic collapse, then there's never going to be accountability. It can't just all be going after Voss.
Right.
As tempting and as succulent a cactus he is to bite on.
Yeah.
Jimmy, do we have a caller on the line? All right.
We do.
Welcome to Sharp Elbows.
Two callers here, Pizza Box, okay. Mike's first.
Okay, hey, yeah. Mike. We got a couple minutes here.
Yeah, I just wanted to give Scott a shout out because I'm one of those guys that likes listening to Scott. And you're right, I don't always agree with you 100%, but I know that we're on the same path. But I just wanted to give you a shout out because a couple weeks ago, Dan O'Donnell just couldn't stop talking about you, which means that you're getting really under his skin. I like to call him Dan Roseanne O'Donnell, but he doesn't like to let me come on his show. So the whole thing is they don't have a debate. I mean, there is not a debate. There's facts, and then there's the alternative, which is what we've been going through for too long now. So just by, you know, like he says, you got to communicate with people, but you also have to try and do it in a way that I haven't always been effective as. So as speakers, we need to learn how to talk to people more. Common people, I don't care about the establishment people. They're not going to agree with me on a lot of things, but that's what this next year is going to be all about, right?
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike. Next up, we've got Joe from SP, Stevens Point. How's it going, Joe?
Oh, hey, I'm tuning in a little bit late. I'm getting my schedules down, so I apologize for showing up a little late here, but I love the show, and this is great dialogue. This is just what we need. And you know, I just want to throw out there, that I think the Democrats have got to go on solid offense, not just be a, you know, grievance culture. That to me is like so worn out. Like, you know, the fact that, you know, Badger Care should be, it shouldn't be cut off at $8.50 an hour. We should be promoting it and let that thing sit in there until people get stabilized. We should be going on a 72 county legalization of marijuana. I mean, it's like we should be leading with all these populist positions that the Democrats say they stand and care for. You know, when I was making calls for, you know, trying to get out the vote, I always left my number on, and I was targeting independents in Trump country. Mm-hmm. And man, I can tell you what, you want to experience the meaning of the word futility, be a Democrat and make a call to him. And the only people that were calling me back were the red hot burning weird Trump supporting guys. I didn't have a whole lot of independents and Democrats calling back and say, how can I help? I'm rolling up my sleeves. I just think that, you know, we really got to focus on that, but I can't even tell you how much I enjoy what y'all are doing. So I'll jump off here and thanks again.
Thank you. And I think you summarized it really well. And I think that's the theme of at least what my campaign was, what I hope the Democratic Party does, which is be on the offensive. They are amazing when they do that and, you know, come up short when they don't. But I think that's a really great wrap-up theme. And I think Fran has a recipe for us to close up this Saturday.
Absolutely. This is adopted from one of my favorite cookbooks, Loretta Lynn, You're Cooking It Country. And it's her squash casserole. It's kind of like two recipes in one. You take a butternut squash, slice it in half lengthwise, a little olive oil, maple syrup, salt, pepper. You roast it in the oven at 350 degrees for about 45 minutes, and it's delicious like that. Otherwise, if you want to take it on to the casserole level, put it in scoop out your squash, put it in a casserole dish, mix in some shredded American or cheddar cheese, about 2 cups. Beat 2 eggs lightly and pour that over. Melt a half a stick of butter and take a sleeve of saltines, crush them up. Put them up over your squash and eggs mixture, and then pour the stick of butter over that and bake it for about an hour until it's GBD, golden brown delicious, and you've got yourself a squash casserole. We're going to have this recipe up on our social platforms, and our podcast will be out on Monday. Nada, do we have anything else today?
No, but I am really grateful that Scott Roth joined us today, and we have about a minute left, but Scott, do you have any tweets in your drafts that you don't want to send out but are going to?
We call this segment the tweet that got away.
Yeah, let me see, because I had one in my draft. I just wanted a quick question, Fran. That recipe sounds great, but as somebody who is not a big squash fan, could I replace the squash with a giant hunk of meat?
Absolutely. It would be delicious. I would say, you know, even ground beef, or if you can get some shredded beef or shredded chicken, you know, anything with a crunchy top, butter on top is great. Living that hot dish casserole life, especially in the wintertime.
Okay, here's my draft tweet. My draft tweet is, Democrats take full control of the White House and Congress this week, and we're treated to profiles in Wisconsin of Republican has-been James Sensenbrenner and voter fraud shrieking Republican grifter Charlie Sykes. That's the tweet that's been sitting in my thing since yesterday afternoon when I saw both of those profiles by the Wisconsin media.
Thank you so much, Scott. And you can go on his Twitter. I'm sure he's going to send that off. Thank you for tuning into Sharp Elbows on 92.7 FM. Let us see you next Saturday. See everyone.
Bye, y'all.
Like a hip hop forum. Pass me the rock and I'll score 'em with the chrome improper. What you say, hammer? Proper. Rap is not pop. If you call it that, then stop.